So Paul and I have been talking for some time about AI, and it's just blossoming into the
I think it's
marketplace
all
and
going
growing
on well.
faster than we can keep up with. And wanted to have something to do with AI on the meeting, and we've even cast about to see if we could find somebody that might bring some expertise into the conversation. That could contribute meaningfully. So far, we haven't found that person. So we thought we'd go ahead here I am saying this morning, have a conversation among ourselves and see if we can zero in a bit on how AI might be concerning us. So Paul, you want to chime in on the topic?
Yes, thank you. All
Okay.
right. The most important thing is that, as Bill mentioned, we know that AI is rising, but in 2024, for example, it's even faster, and within 25, I guess we all experience a little bit more as well. So today's we want to like focus and see how AI actually could give us more opportunity to work better, and then what are the challenges that we're facing while we are catching up with this trend, and also whether we have the equipment or skill to cope with all of this. We will begin. You want to play the video to begin, Bill, and then maybe
Yeah,
do the discussion.
I think that's a good place to start. And the video I'm about to share is actually from a public broadcasting TV show that I saw about a month or so ago, and I was able to go back and find this on YouTube. It's about a 6-minute video with a fellow named Robert Reich, who no one would. Of you would have heard from, except maybe Ariel. Ariel has heard of Robert Reich, pretty prominent guy here in America, and now a professor at Berkeley, I think, Cal Berkeley, and he was being interviewed on the impact AI might have on the future of jobs. That was pretty interesting. So let me see if I can share that video with you guys.
While we watch the video, also think about our work, and of course, the perspective that giving in the video is more on the Western, current Western situations, but this probably relevant to us in the futures, or you might see what sort of relevant to our work. Our main focus here is that we all actually work in education, and now there's also blend. Like I've been teaching example like 25 now, that more student actually, instead of thinking, they actually just use AI to work on their assignments and everything like that. So it's really disturbing to see how much they really grow, you know, for me personally. And also we're also looking at the opportunity, how could we adapt that sort of thing? To what level can we adapt to make sure we are not rely too much on that, but it's using it in the way that it support us. We don't have to go far away to the library to search for things, but then what can we use this tool to make our work more effectively and smarter and those sort of thing. And there also a World Economic Forum last year, I think they discussed about the education 4.0. I don't know if we all aware about that. I think it's really address very important key element. It's not about just the future job for us per se, like what type of job, but the key knowledge that we should obtain into that. It's like focus on the problem solving. I'm sure we all know that is a most important soft skill that we have built into most of our program, collaborative skill, and also of course the adaptability. How could we adapt to all of that? So while watching the video, I invite you all to think about our current work.
AI is rapidly reshaping the workplace. More companies are turning to it as a substitute for hiring or retraining workers, and that's raising urgent questions about the future of the job market. For many families, the uncertainty can feel personal. What kinds of jobs will their children or anyone entering the workforce years from now actually have? Robert Reich is a professor of public policy at University of California, Berkeley, and the former labor secretary under President Bill Clinton. And he wrote about this recently in his Substack essay titled, How Your Kids Will Make Money in a World of AI. And he joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Delighted. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing well, and I have wanted to speak with you ever since reading your Substack because of the really interesting way you categorize work. You say there are three categories of jobs: making, thinking, and caring. Which of these do you think is most at risk from AI, and why?
Well, the making jobs really have been automated over the last 30 to 40 years. You go into a manufacturing facility today, and it's mostly computerized machine tools. The thinking jobs are the ones that are most at risk from artificial intelligence because artificial intelligence really will be automating many thinking jobs. And I'm talking about everything from doctors to lawyers, accountants, people who are and call themselves professionals who have got a lot of degrees, but whose particular thinking processes can be replicated and is being replicated by AI.
What role do you see for education, universities, schools, vocational programs, and adapting to this new AI-shaped economy?
Well, there are certainly going to be jobs in improving AI and in installing and servicing AI. There are going to be a lot of jobs, inevitably important jobs in critical thinking and assessment. But many professional jobs, the kind of jobs that people have spent a lot of money to get professional degrees for, may not be delivering. Even today, a lot of computer engineering jobs have been essentially automated away by AI. So the job market is going to change. Now, the caring jobs, the third category of jobs, the people who provide personal care, whether it's childcare or elder care, nurses, psychotherapists, people who are in the job of, if you will, empathy, their jobs will not easily be replaced by AI because the essence of caring jobs is humans, human touch, human contact, human caring. AI may pretend and convince some people that there is a human being operating on the other side of the screen, but ultimately, human touch is going to be incredibly important.
There was a time, though, when kids who had an aptitude for math or science were encouraged to learn coding. But with AI, to your point, making some of those coding jobs now obsolete, the ground has shifted. So, what should parents be prioritizing today to best prepare their kids for the jobs of tomorrow?
Well, I think the most important thing is versatility. That is, young people need to be able to learn rapidly, to move from job to job, to not assume that the old career paths are really there any longer. AI is going to jumble everything, and the trajectory of AI is almost impossible to foresee. So versatility, adaptability is going to be very, very important.
What about the here and now? I'm hearing stories of recent college graduates who are talented, smart, and qualified, and yet they can't find work. To what degree is AI displacement responsible for that? And what options do they realistically have in navigating it?
Well, AI is undoubtedly replacing some jobs right now in computer engineering and in computer sciences. I would not recommend that somebody immediately leap into another graduate degree or a professional degree, becoming a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or anything else. I think the most important thing is for people to really understand from the inside what it is that customers, clients, people actually need and be able to empathize with individuals. Again, the essence of caring jobs is empathy. And I don't believe that we're ever going to get to a point, at least in our lifetimes, where AI can replicate caring and empathy.
Is there a policy prescription for this that would help alleviate some of the job market challenges on the horizon?
Inevitably, I think that universal basic income is going to become more popular because the caring jobs of the future that are going to dominate the future, given AI's tendency to automate so many professional jobs, those caring jobs are not going to be paying all that much. They don't pay that much today. And so the notion of a universal basic income that is gaining ground in many countries and has shown some promise in the United States may actually be a major policy in the future.
In your new book, Coming Up Short, you argue that the baby boomer generation squandered much of the prosperity it inherited. Given that history, how do you see today's generation navigating the rise and the promise of AI? Is there a risk that they repeat some of the same mistakes and come up short in their own way? How can they best leverage the advances of this incredible technology?
Well, there is obviously risk of them coming up short as well. But I have enormous faith, Jeff, in the young people today. I have been teaching for 44 years. My most recent students and the generation of students I've taught over the last 4 or 5 years, they are more dedicated and committed to a better world. They are more willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to achieve that better world and are more critically thoughtful. They are not cynical, but they are at least realistic about the future than any generation I've dealt with before.
Robert Reich, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
I think the whole topic of AI is important. I have a brother who is very, very knowledgeable about AI, and I actually spoke with him about coming on and making a presentation, and he declined. He said, you know, his whole interest is all about how AI works and how to make it work better, and that in terms of its impact on society, its impact on culture, its impact on education, he doesn't know much about that. He's just into the nuts and bolts of how AI works. And that's not the conversation we wanted to have here tonight. We didn't want to get into how AI works. We're really more concerned about how AI impacts our organizations. And what you heard from Jeff Bennett and Robert Reich was American, of course, in context. But he was also talking about some movements that he was seeing worldwide. So Paul and I thought that if we could manage to do it, we could go into some breakout rooms and talk about two questions. And my thoughts for the two questions, and I don't have a screen for this, so I'll just have to speak them out loud and we can make a couple of notes. But first question was, what do you see as the major AI challenges that your organization is going to face? So how is AI likely to impact your organization? What do you see happening there? And specifically then aimed at the CLLC group here, what kind of AI training would be most beneficial to you and your organizations? So the first question is, what do we see in terms of challenges? The second question is, what kind of training could we arrange that would be most beneficial to you? So Paul, do you want to add on to those questions? And let's see if we can make sure that we're clear on the questions.
When we go out into the breakout room, you can also share as well, what have you been using? What more effective? What may find it's difficult. And if you haven't been using it, I mean, I haven't been using anything. So it's also good to learn from you guys as well, what would be more effective.
Well, we're all relative amateurs in terms of certainly in terms of how AI works, but more pragmatically is how do we use AI to our benefit? And so it's a conversation among relatively inexperienced people here, but we still may have some good thoughts that would be beneficial to share. So,
May I
yes?
assist Paul, before we go to
Of
the
course.
breakout room?
Of course, Lita, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Before we go to breakout room, I just want to share a bit information or like experience that I have regarding to build myself from the personal learning. So maybe some of you already know, but maybe some of you not. So I think it's benefit to share today.
Okay, I think we'll have plenty of time here for sharing.
So may I do a bit screen sharing? Can I do a screen share?
Well, let me ask you, Lita, is this something that will be of benefit and will help us with the breakout room conversations?
Yes.
It is. Okay, well, let's see what you've got.
Thank you. So, I would love to
I bet
share.
you're better at screen sharing than I am.
Thank you very much. So, regarding to the AI, I just want to share one app that I found, and it really is a benefit for everyone to do the self-learning, and it is called Cosium. I hope everyone can see my screen right now.
I'm seeing your screen, so I presume the others can.
Yes.
Yes.
So the cost, yes. So the Cosium, when we talk about AI, actually it has many body, I can say like that. The AI generate from like a ChatGPT Copilot is something like that. So if you want to know more than ChatGPT or Copilot, you can go to Cosium, and this is include many lessons like start from the ChatGPT, and you can go to the Midjourney and Gemini, Claude, Jasper. Also, another like a stable, DeepSeek, Seek, and LovaBoss. So everything is the lesson that everyone can do the self-learning, and the cost is around $40. If you can hunt it in 12 or like 4 weeks, you can study all these lessons, then it would be wonderful. To benefit only $40 for all the AI's costs.
Can you
So,
put a link to that in the chat file?
yes, I can. So, this is just something that I would like to share.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yes,
So
thank
we've
you.
got 21 people. A minute ago it was 22. We've got 21 people. What were you thinking about, so Paul, in terms of size of the breakout rooms?
Six room maybe. There's like 3 or 4. I think 4 would be good.
I think four. So if we did five breakout
Six.
rooms, and
Yeah, I
I've
can.
got a button on my screen that says I can make breakout rooms. I'm not experienced in it, and it says it will assign people automatically.
You can
So
do that. Yeah, use the
I can do that and get the room started. I have no experience in using rooms, so I'm not sure how to stop the rooms and bring them back, but maybe that'll be evident when we get going.
You can put numbers a minute in there.
I
Give
can
us
put
how many
like,
minutes.
okay. Well, I think it's an important enough topic that we should have 15 or 20 minutes of conversation in the breakout rooms. So let's see, this says I can make five breakout rooms assigned automatically. Let's create them. Oh, there it did. Okay. I see where everybody's assigned to rooms. Let's open the rooms, and I think you'll see. So, Paul, you got to help me with this. I've never done this before, and it comes up at the last minute. So, if I click open the rooms, then will people get instructions on where to go?
We will automatically drag into the room, so don't worry.
Okay, and how do I undo the rooms when we finish this?
You can just bring them back. There will be a button say you can send us back.
All right, so I'll open the rooms now.
Phần đây đọc về tập lọc màu vĩnh cứ để nhầm thay nhé nè về về policy à về chuẩn miền nó cứ là lời dương nghe đại sai ấy dương bằng bài từ lời vị trán là dương ở sau này sạc cầm luôn ai nhỉ cả kết bỏ dương có chấp đam clay clay đại sai dương bằng bài lời vị trán nó là chỉ bị sao to luôn trong
នៅក្នុងហ្នឹងក្រុមការងារបងបងមានប្រើប្រាស់ដូចគ្នាអញ្ចឹងហើយពួកគាត់ដូចនៅតាម project management អីអញ្ចឹងគាត់ប្រើដែរអត់បង
ភាគច្រើនគាត់ប្រើប៉ុន្តែដោយសារមិនបានជាសួរនាំលម្អិតរៀងខ្លួនណាប៉ុន្តែអ្វីដែលខ្ញុំយល់គឺលំនាំដែលយើងប្រើប្រាស់ហ្នឹងក្នុងទម្រង់ប៉ាគ្នាអញ្ចឹងនៅពេលដែលយើងធ្វើការនៅតាមផ្នែកមួយមួយបើផ្នែកកម្មវិធីគាត់អនុវត្តច្រើនអញ្ចឹងទៅគាត់នឹងប្រើនៅក្នុងបរិបទអនុវត្តរបស់គាត់ជាមួយនឹងអ្នកដែលគាត់ធ្វើការងារផ្ទាល់មកថាបើគាត់ត្រូវការធ្វើផែនការអញ្ចឹងទៅ
A lot of things. Yes. A lot of things wrong. But I can say
Because
ChatGPT, ChatGPT is one of the best.
Wheel.
You know, sometimes I use ChatGPT to enhance the English speaking for my staff because ChatGPT is easy to get to in conversation to each other that my staff through their speaking as well as their listening. So yeah, ChatGPT is a good platform. And also maybe sometime I need more assist from ChatGPT as you mentioned that, okay, you can use AI to support to reply email or maybe to search out the information as well as to find out the technique, good technique of teaching.
Nên là đấy thì mình khuyên là vì mình học bây giờ sẽ làm cái đấy riêng para para cái tôi thì bạn mà học con hơn bây giờ mình hiện nay cho nó tập mình thì là người
Wait.
khỏe rồi
Yeah,
bà làm chưa
thank
nhé.
you. Yeah, thank you Bong for sharing. Actually, we are speaking.
Oh. No worries.
Come
No worries.
Oh.
on. Hi.
How to get back?
Help me write a prompt, and then
Mm-hmm.
it will come up with something.
Yeah.
And then I take it and put it into a new chat. And then,
So multiple windows.
yeah,
So,
that'll
all you guys, when we get sick, we have to check AI for medication when we buy or we go to see
help
about that.
I don't think like that because it's very dangerous. We
It could be, yes.
can't ask. Yeah.
It could be. Sometimes AI makes up things that are going to hurt you. So we have to be careful. Read very carefully.
Well, we this guy. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello. I'm just roaming around.
Don't need a lot to go for you, Bill.
I'm going to close the rooms here pretty soon. I think we probably had good conversation time.
Definitely. We talked a little bit about how our students are having free use of AI in a way that is very clear and obvious sometimes, how we might want to work with that, but also how our teachers and our leaders can probably get better training in asking the right kinds of prompts or using AI to help facilitate developing materials, ideas, games, depending on, what the desired outcomes are. All of that seems really, really easy and practical.
I think those are some great ideas, and we'll probably want to share them with everybody.
Hello, Bill. We are
Hello.
back. We are so back.
Yeah,
We are
I think
back.
everybody's coming back now.
I am back.
Good. Well, I'm interested to hear what the conversations were.
It was nice. I learned a lot from Vishal from CFI, and he shares me a lot of idea about using AI.
Oh,
Oh.
great. Well, I think we're all gonna learn from this,
Yeah.
including I'm learning how to do meeting rooms. Long overdue, I'm sure.
Honestly, I use just only one AI that to support my work as well as my learning. But yeah, in the room, I can learn a lot about Visal and Li Hing that they both share me how to use AIs and how to use AI in the proper ways and as well as the challenges of using AI.
We learn from you too, Wong.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, I think I see 21 faces back on the screen. I think we successfully got in and out of the chat rooms. Forgive my ineptitude on that. I'm a little better at it now. I'd love to hear some feedback from each of the rooms. And maybe the way best way to do that is just start with room number one. And if somebody in room number one can share a little bit of what was talked about, and taking the first question about what do you see as the major challenges that AI will bring to your organization? So, Paul, you were in room one, weren't you?
So first of all, all the organization, all of them use ChatGPT, but some also use DeepSeek. They would talk. We talk a lot about the benefit rather than challenge. I think just because all the members in our group are non-native of English speaking. They find it's very useful for them to write, to read, to do the report. So it helped to generate, save a lot of time and help them with their grammars and wordings and everything. The challenge is how to use it promptly, how to write the prompt to ensure that they understand what the staff member looking for. And also somehow they feel like the more they start to use, it's also become more passive because they tend not to think. They tend to rely on AI to work for them. They know that this is the best assistant to work for them. And they tend to get stressed if this assistant can't work as the way they want it. And yeah, probably also decrease their critical thinking a little bit as well. The other is focused on need. Only one organization actually have the budget to buy the full version for business. The rest, they don't have any budget. They tend to work individually on whatever the free version available. They don't really necessarily like connect with each other's within the organization. And also it's difficult for them to work with community leaders as well. It tend that their staff member work on it, but the community leader do not understand that this tool would be beneficial for them, including like the teacher in the public school and community leaders. They don't access to this. So
Let me ask an obvious question. At least it's obvious to me. Is there any Khmer language available in any AI?
there is.
There is.
Yes.
Okay,
But
because.
yes, in my group, they said with Khmer language, they tend to do it themselves rather than ask AI. What they use AI now more into writing English
For
report
writing
or read
English.
some documents and do contracts and so on.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
How about room number two? Who can share some of what was discussed there?
We thought, I think that you are good at using AI, so can you share your ideas to everyone?
Oh, thank you, Mom. Thank you. Let me just wrap up, just summarize what we have just talked. For us from Room 2, we think that AI is super helpful, but it's not perfect. I usually say it handles about 80% of the work, like generating idea or organizing information, but the remaining 20% still need our judgment, human judgments. Like we need to check accuracy, the tone, and the context when we of the input that after we generate or something like that. For example, like we notice Gemini, Google Gemini AI isn't great for document work. For me, I noticed that Gemini isn't great for document work, and while Copilot is really easy and quick, almost like ChatGPT, is also good for the work as well. That make our work smoother, but we still need to review everything carefully. I experience a lot in using AI, and I know a lot of website and app, and I used to join the ad campaigns that they share about AI, so I know. Honestly, generally, I work with a learning center, so I am a teacher, so it helpful for me in with using AI. For example, in my work, lesson planning, I just write a prompt, and then I just tell AI what I want, and I review that just one clicks, and then that just they become like what I want, and I check if it's not like what I want. I will ask them more to like I shape them. Okay, so I shape them to like what I want. So that is good, and I test it already in my classroom. Student really enjoy because a lot of creativity work in the classroom. Student, we have more idea. Normally we have idea, but we can learn a lot from AI. So that is really helpful, and student really enjoy the idea from me, from the teacher, from me. I mean, I also have from AI like that. I mean like that. So but like I said, 20% still need our judgment on using AI. We also need to be careful with privacy and sensitive information as well, especially in programs involving children and family like CVI, because we work with children and family. When we write cash note or something, I think we should not write type student name as a prompt or family information as a prompt, but we just like customer A, customer B, or something like that. So we should care about privacy as well, because when we use AI, they will know us clearly. Right. Right now, AI know me clearly. They know my name, they know my address, they know my information, where I work. So that's why they work smoothly, because they know me, they know what I want, they know my character, they know what I am. Like I mean, they know my nature, right? So that's why AI is like my friends. So we use AI, we need to work like we are their friends. So we work closely together. Even I learn English, I learn Chinese, or I want to learn other languages, I learn from AI. You know, that's really helpful. But like I said, we need 20% more about judgment. The AI training needed for the organization, for me, at my organization, I think it would help to have training on how to use tool like Copilot safely and effectively, or ChatGPT safely and efficiently, and how to check output before sharing. So I think that is the one that should be trained to the other teacher, the other member. And one more is about guideline on what information should not go into those AI platform. So I think this way AI can handle the 80%, and we focus on the critical 20% more, so ourselves. So just remember that sentence, AI can handle the 80%, but we focus on another critical 20% ourselves. So that's it.
That sounds like the voice of experience talking there. So
I use AI for many years already, so I know them better.
Well, that's very very good, very helpful. Thank you. How about room number three? What came out of that conversation?
Excuse me. Actually, I really don't know what I don't know the number of my group.
Well, I don't have that information anymore, I don't think. Well, yeah, I
you
do.
Just go ahead.
Room number three with Jantin from HHA and from Free to Shine and Payut from Reach and Long Shiv.
Yeah, I see. That's my group. We have discussed about the benefit and benefit and impact of using the AI. Before I'm sharing that, so I just a little bit introduce my name. I'm Pai. So I actually I'm currently working in Rising Brief NGO. So, and I'm teaching the students computers literacy trainer as well. Focus on about the teaching them how to typing and using learning about the Microsoft Office like Excel, PowerPoint, and Word as well. So what my group has been sharing is each other. I get some the idea What they say is that the one that she's been hearing is about she used the chat GPT Gemini for have her to create a lesson plan for the student, like I mean the English lesson plans, and it's very helpful when she's when she's struggling with some of the points that she wants to know, and then she just generated and pass there some information related to the lesson, and then let the AIs write the lesson for her, and it's for her she thought that very helpful. Yeah, and another one I want to sharing about my personal thought about the AI. Actually, at my NGO, I don't teach the student how to use the AI yet. Actually, I just use myself have helped me a little bit when I'm working, when I'm struggling. I just use similar with her, like ChatGPT and Gemini. So, but I don't subscribe or pay for that. I just use the free version. Yeah. And yeah, that's it. But for about the impact form, actually I have joined a workshop and join the cyber security, and I know about the impact of the AI as well. So what the I could I say that the man that who I have been hearing a few minutes ago, he said already about the it, but I want to add more. When we are using AI, we just carefully about paste the privacy information, like the personal or work. The how could I say, like if you are like you are manage the students' information, like their name, their family number, or their information, and then you should not to pass it in the AI. Another example, like if you are working as the HR manager, and then you use the staff information, pass it paste the file of the information. So it's not a good one that it's it cannot be, the for the document or information cannot keep in the AI. And then maybe for the information gonna be have the hacker, I can say that, cause the hacker can be get your information. Just be carefully about when you press and make sure that which document or some information that you should not to paste and let, and should be not, cause it's maybe help easily to like I mentioned, the hacker gonna get your information just like the AI, like you post the Facebook or using their social media. When you delete it, you saw that delete it, but actually all those information keep storing on Facebook, and then when you like example you wanted to know about the one NGO, and then you search it cannot show all about the information. It's not the this is that we know that the AIs have helpful for the NGO study, but its impact it's a very impact as well if we use the privacy the private information. Yeah, so that's all what I'm
Thank you.
sharing, what I'm
No, you make your point about privacy very clearly, and it's come up on a couple of other comments as well. What about another group? What if that was three? What about group four? What was talked about in there?
I guess maybe they don't know the, I mean, they don't know the number group as well.
Well, Pisai was in there, Lita was in there, Fari was in there. So you guys know who you were, who was there. What
And Soteria. Yes, I know, but we just smile at each other, won't we say?
You can go ahead, Lita.
Okay, thank
Well,
you.
we can hear from both of you, so that's fine.
Yes. So regarding to our group, yeah, the same as other team, group one until group three, we talk more about the benefit and also sharing more deeply from Bobby say because she been trained in the United States about using AI. So she also have more focus regarding to the challenge in the future because AI is kind of technology that never forget us. No, I mean, every years or like don't know how many years that AI can store our information, but they will never forget us. So all the information that we share and also ask AI to help, AI will store and keep remember us. So in the future, it might be a risk in some case. For example, if I use a lot of personal information in the AI, please tell me how is Sumarita doing, where is she living, so AI will tell you because I used to ask AI to help with all the information and I also share the AI with that one. So this is challenging that we raise and talk about within a group. And the benefit is same as other team. We normally use AI in content writing regarding to the marketing and social media for NGO sectors. We also use AI to correct the grammars in English before we send out the report and also email to the board or donor perspective. So it's helpful, but the reader will feel that the writer is not a human, it came from AI. However, we can check or we can identify if we are in the same field as we are asking AI to help. For example, if we are in the management team, but we ask AI to generate the accounting report and then we send the report to the donor, we might not see the problem or the error in the report, which is cause a problems to you, to everyone who never experienced in the accountings. So it must require the person who use AI must have the experience in that field or in that work. Yes. So I will keep time for Bobby say to share.
And thank you, the previous group. It was a really great sharing. I also learned a lot, but keep learning is the best tool for us to, because we are slower than AI, like especially Cambodia, we just like boom with the AI recently, and then we don't know how to use it effectively and also how to protect ourselves from the risk in the future. Our team also shared about we work with Gen Z and some generation elder like millennials like myself. Sometimes we are slower and the knowledge is very broader than we understand. So sometimes we need to keep learning and exploring. And last time we got shared sharing session by this like the friend from this like Cambodia. So thank you so much. and we still keep learning because we are not relying on AI 100%, like the previous group said. We need to use a human critical thinking, and we use our brain. If we don't use it, and then we become lazy, and we don't use it properly, and then we rely on it, and everything we check on AI. So I can see that sometime our challenge. Some people said maybe this report written by AI, but sometimes we don't really know because we don't have the knowledge. So when we read the report, we say, "Oh, this, wow, they did a great job," but not really sure that from AI or the person. So it's difficult to evaluate the quality or capacity or the knowledge of the team member that submitted the report to us, so on a leadership aspect. And about the personal aspect, like the team in this group also shared about what should ask and what should not. Sometimes I heard that people say, "I don't need boyfriend or girlfriend or partner. I can talk to AI and AI can talk to me without judgment." However, we will lose the connection with human because, like, we can talk to psychologists or psychiatrists or the counselor as the people that qualify on human and understanding how to support your emotion. But then you just ask AI, they can answer something, be in your assistant sometimes, but you cannot ask deeper question like Lita mentioned. Maybe in the future that all those things can be affect back to us because we ask everything. I have problem with my husband. I have problem and this, for example, like we ask everything. It's not safe for the future if they check. I'm sure that in the other country check like what your qualification, but also is you are the safe person or they check for the everything on the maybe website or Google or anything website that can generate the information. So make sure you use in the proper way, not affect us in the future. Also our team mentioned about authenticity. Sometimes we use AI and then we don't feel it to write in the human way of writing about people and impact story of the people. It's just AI writing on behalf of us. It's great, but when we read, we can feel that it's not real. And they also mentioned about the tone and the word, the keyword can be used the same. Maybe I asked and AI said the same thing as Alita asked if we ask the same question. And yeah, so consider about using the proper way, and risk also good to consider, and support the generation like younger generation to ensure that we are here to support them. However, AI or Google platform or any technology can help them, but we are here to support them so they don't forget that the human connection and how to communicate and how to communicate like parent to children, student to teacher, and also like our social worker, like social worker to the community. And this is something. So yeah, keep learning is good. So we're really curious about the upcoming training on AI and keep learning. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Excuse me. Excellent insights. And I keep hearing the 80-20 that make sure that we're managing the 20%. That's the human element to it, and not taking it at face value. We had one other group, number five.
Thus,
Ariel, you're jumping right in.
So I was with Nadi and Chelon and Sita, and we have a lot of students that we work with, but Anjali House and the other organizations work with young, very young students, like elementary school and middle school age students. Nadi also works with some scholarship age students, like Pepe does. So with the youngest students, with the youngest children, we typically aren't seeing. We've heard, everyone is saying that they haven't heard a lot of issues yet with AI. Students either don't know how to use it or don't have reason to use it for a lot of their assignments just yet. So maybe some kind of training or some kind of workshops or preparation for the youngest students to kind of get into proper use of it would be very helpful. What we did see with the older students, so the university age students, is blatant use of AI, things that just kind of seem like things that are put together, organized in a way that is so highly above where their actual English level is, so that it becomes clearly suspicious. And so, how do we work with students that want to do that, actually want to produce a good assignment? I think it's not always laziness. It's a matter of I want to do the right thing. I want my teachers to like me. I want to get good grades. And that pushes them to do that. So I'm giving them a lot of the benefit of the doubt. But I do think that a lot of times it's students just wanting to do a good job and not always students wanting to be sneaky or to lie about what they know. How do we work with that? How do we talk to students about how to use it properly when we catch them using it inappropriately? And then also we for the second question about training that might help us do better with AI, one of the things that I thought was very important was having AI using AI to help develop teaching materials, to help develop games, to help develop curriculum and ideas for classroom use or to approach students or to make sure that we stay effective in our learning materials and our delivery. This is all very important. Another way that could be useful is developing the right kinds of prompts. How do we ask ChatGPT to help us or any AI to help us get the results we want because we're asking the right questions or asking the right tasks? And also to help in very real ways, for example, making a report more readable, making a report a little bit shorter if it's too long, or help make it clear if some of the points aren't made clearly enough, not to change the words, but to kind of help enhance the delivery. I think, this can be a very useful way to work with tools like this, because it's like working with an expert in a way. But a supercomputer expert. Think that's about it. That's about the most important points. Really, I think it's a matter of, before we start misusing this technology, we can get in early for our students, but for our own teams also to use it properly and to use it in a way that's actually just helping improve delivery and effectiveness, as opposed to kind of replacing critical thinking, replacing analysis, replacing hard work.
Well, what I'm hearing is that in our conversation of the 23 people that are in the room right now, we've had some pretty good experience with AI, more experience than I've had, for example. And I've fussed around with ChatGPT, and I've fussed around with DALL-E when I wanted some illustrations, and but you guys are ahead of the curve in that respect. I'm hearing some good cautions. Largely, the cautions center around privacy and being careful as to what you put into the record, which may never go away, even though you would erase it. And I'm also hearing some good ideas, some clear thinking on what we might do in the future to just benefit this group in terms of training and on how to be more effective with AI. Now, for each of the groups, one person, or in a couple of occasions, two people spoke. How about what got said in the groups that didn't get shared yet? Who has something that was really important that got talked about that hasn't been spoken in the group? Much easier to talk in the smaller chat rooms, I know, but let's open it up for conversation. If there's anything that was important that came out of those conversations that we didn't touch on yet.
Bill, can I add a little bit?
Of course, of course.
Right. Okay. So for me, personally, AI is really helpful. I would say it can do about 80% of the work, like I mentioned earlier at the moment. But the last 20%, the thinking, the judgment, still that's still ours. So I think some people worry about using AI too much might make us lose critical thinking, but I think it's really depend on how we use it. For example, I learn a lot from ChatGPT, from Copilot, and at the other app as well. It helped me grow, explore ideas, and get things done faster. For me, not the advice, but for using AI, it's simple. Use it as a tool, not a replacement. Always check the information it give you. Yeah, always check the information it give you, and think critically about it. Be specific with your prompts and balance what AI give you with your own knowledge and judgment. So that way, it really become a partner in learning and working smarter. So that's it that I wanted to mention.
Use it as a partner. Use.
Yeah, sure.
Bill, can I come in?
Sure, please do.
I just want to give a broader a view on AI. I think everyone's now knows the difference AI, which could be very useful in our daily work or even personally. But I think it is very important that everyone before starting experience AI, I can compare it to how we have new tools or new vehicles. For example, if you start thinking of having a new car, you may need to learn it very carefully and understand it well. For example, if you want to buy Ford, then you need to think of which series you want to buy and how it can work for you. So if you don't know about that vehicle well, and then you start driving it, then it may cause you problems or you face a lot of challenges when you use it. And AI is the same if you compare it to a car or computers or phone. It's more or less the same because they have many series, many brands. But once you pick one, you need to really know it very well. It's about the nature, how it produces its functions, and what can you do with it, and how it can be used in different aspects. That is the most fundamental part of experiencing AI. And afterward, you would find it easy how you used it to benefit your work or your own needs. That will go to in different sectors. If you are in education, you need to really go deeper on what are the needs of AI in that field. I think our colleagues earlier already mentioned, if you are a teacher, you need to think of how AI can play a role in education, avoiding negative impacts on the teacher, on the students. And that is important, and it is fundamental to have all that first, but before you go in detail how to use it, how you write a tag, how you correct a tag, or have a correct your grammatical tag, something like that. It's very useful in many ways. I think everyone knows, but unless you really understand well what it is and how it should be used and in what context, from there you can move further and then make it beneficial in the correct way. From my experience, I think it is very important that all the users know all this basis about AI before get familiar or using it in real life. Thank you.
Oh, very, very good points that I made note of your make it useful in the right way. I also made a note here that I could use some training in. And I would call it the guidelines and pitfalls of using AI. And I've heard several important points along those lines. But if I were to put them in a bucket, I would say that one of those buckets is the pitfalls and the guidelines for using AI in the right way. Good thoughts. And I'm also getting a clear message that there's a lot of different AI applications available, and they all have some subtle or not so subtle differences in how they were put together and what they're best used for. That it might be really useful to find somebody who could talk with us about the 8 or 10 or 12 choices in AI programs that we have right now and how to make the best choices, depending on what it is you want to do, and the best uses, how to use the right prompts for it, how to just get more mileage out of AI. I think, in your own way, each of you is figuring that out as you go. But I'm also wondering if there's anybody that's ahead of us 6 months or a year and has already been figuring some of that stuff out. So Paul, that's something we might want to keep our eyes open for, is that someone that can talk to us about guidelines and pitfalls for using AI in the right way, and also some guidance on which AI to use for which purposes.
Yeah, we definitely have people in mind that they could help us, but it just like it's not the right time yet. So we will figure out the good timing for everyone.
And were you referring to somebody in particular that could help us?
Yes, we do have a couple of people. Yes.
Oh, we do. Okay. Well, let's talk with them and see if we can get them to put something together that would be useful for the
Yeah,
whole group.
I think we can do like two trainer at once or something. It depends on the topic that we want to focus on. Me personally really want to look into people who have more experience that work in operations and also in education and also like teaching as well, so that they could brought in their experience of how using the application, like our friend from CFI, we saw just share with us his experience in like teaching English, for example, but we their broader aspect of what we're doing in the philanthropy field that we have been doing, you know, like project management, financing, budgeting, like how do we use that to ensure it's more effectively in the field. I mean, at the moment, we kind of like represent our institutions, but we are not really those individual within our organization. So to some extent, our levels of understanding about how internet is working is very different. So it's important that we target the specific audience for specific knowledge and skill training. So that's what I would interpret from these discussions as well. And I know that we have been discussed about what sort of online training available. And this is something probably many of us here are struggling to find enough funding to actually ensure that those people could continue to build their knowledge and skill. You know, there are also some self-learning platform that we could do, but whether they have enough time and whether we have enough funding to provide to those sort of training that they could continue improve themselves, you know. But I mean, this is also again to remind you all on scholarship application for 2026. So the deadline is in 5 days. So submit the scholarship application for students and staff for university degrees or any training. There's a time for calling that as well. But I think it's also give us a reminder that as a community, we can also work together. If there anything you guys could come up with like a co-sharing space or training thing that we could think of that we could collaborate, not only like just within our own organization, but if we could work together among us. I mean, Angeli House, Pepis, and JVOG have done that sort of collaborative project before, but really looking forward to see more of that collaboration of like sharing. And I also want to credit to This Life Cambodia that you've been doing some sharing with WRC that Bisay have addressed earlier. So this is something we want to see more as well among our network to see what else can we share as resources.
I think all valid points and gives us good guidance, so Paul, for where we should go from here. And in the area of training, it might be expensive to hire a trainer to do one or two NGOs at a time, but if we could find the right trainers that would do something for the CLLC. Ideally, it would be in person, and maybe we could do it at a time when I'm in Siem Reap. That if we looked at engaging a high-level trainer to come and work with 30 or 40 or more of our CLLC members, the cost wouldn't look so intimidating when we realize we're really spreading it across quite a number of organizations, and I'd be really interested in exploring that, especially if we knew we're getting some top flight training from somebody who really understands the 14 different flavors that we've got going for AI. And geez, I've even got AI built into my computer now. It's offers to rewrite my sentences for me, and when I say go ahead, it does a pretty good job of it sometimes. So, but I'm just fiddling with it and learning it, and I don't have a pressing need to become expert in using AI. And maybe some of the others of you are feeling that way as well. But if we can find somebody that's 6 months or 12 months ahead of us in AI, which is a long way ahead these days, I think we could all benefit from that. And so let's keep our eye out for who could we engage and do a good solid day-long workshop we could all really benefit from. And if we could find somebody from Cambodia to do it, I think it would be more relevant and more of a proper cultural fit than if we get somebody from Australia or France or America to teach it. Love to find a Cambodian that could do this. Maybe there's somebody at one of the universities that's way ahead of us. And I bet you could help find that person.
Yeah, I mean, Ariel has someone in mind. I also have someone in mind. We will discuss this, and also we invite all the members who now we discuss this more and know that our community is supporting each other to move forward with this. I invite you to submit any ideas on what are the challenges in your organization and what need you want specifically for your organization. That would be very helpful for us to classify groups of people or at least understand what sort of application we should share and those sort of things. And I also think, what Lita just said about Kursu can also be helpful as well for individual if you're curious to learn more and improve yourself on how to use those apps. But I think to the community, we really want to focus on institutions and how we could actually share that to the community we serve as well. I can make example like today, maybe Lee Hyung could actually benefit a lot from Visal on how Visal has been successful in his lesson plan, for example. So this is something Lee Hyung could actually brought into the community on GoodLane to start to use this, I guess. It's quite limited for them in terms of access to internet, but to some extent, they might start to explore this new opportunity and make their teaching more effectively.
I think we have just
It's just an
begun
example.
this conversation. I think we're just getting a start on the conversation. Maybe long overdue. So I'm pleased with what we've heard, and I'm pleased at the interest level and delighted to see how far ahead of me many of you are in using AI already.